One of my favorite things about this city is when I'm walking down some street and I hear a kid practicing their piano at home. You think of all the thousands of kids just starting out, little maestros in the making. I've never lived next door to a musician, though, and certainly never had to live with anything like this. Teresa Kim has toured the world and teaches students right here in her apartment on the Upper East Side. A while back, her neighbor, the mother of a newborn, heard her practicing this atonal John Corigliano piece and started paying visits to Teresa.
And she would say, you know, it just sounds like you're in my living room. Your instrument is huge. Can't you put a blanket on it? Can't you put a blanket in it? Like, do something.
Teresa only played during the hours allowed by her building, and often practiced at her parents' home in Jersey, but it didn't matter. The neighbor lady kept returning, sometimes twice a day. She complained whether Teresa was playing a gentle nocturne by Chopin, or something that made you feel like someone was just about to get murdered. And then, the complaints stopped. The neighbor, it turns out, had moved away. Teresa still feels bad about the whole episode, and is pretty sure her music forced her neighbor out. But she's not alone. In pursuit of their art, musicians have been annoying their neighbors and landlords here for decades. And often it doesn't end as smoothly as it did for Teresa Kim.
I know of one case where a neighbor even tried to poison the person.
Seymour Bernstein is a pianist who's taught thousands of musicians. He's even the subject of a documentary being made by Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, they left them something to eat at the door. Said, you should try this, it's a great... And it was poisoned. Yeah.
Seymour's in his mid-80s and has lived and taught in the same place on the Upper West Side for the last 59 years. It's a gorgeous ground floor apartment that looks like an old world salon with all sorts of curios like the tea kettle once owned by Robert and Clara Schumann. In his book, Monsters and Angels, Surviving a Career in Music, he described in great graphic detail the fights he's had with both neighbors and the, quote, miserly Dickensian landlords he's had. Like Henry, who he described as charging up the stairs like a bull bent on the kill while he hid inside his apartment.
Henry's rage knew no bounds, and in another second, he began banging with fists and feet upon my door, all accompanied by a spew of vulgarity.
At that moment, Seymour was scared Henry would return with the passkey, so he kept one hand on the door and another on the phone, ready to call the cops.
The whole time I heard Lillian trying to soothe her husband in the way that a serpent might hiss comfort to her mate.
This was in the 1970s. Seymour was repeatedly taken to court, but his right to play his piano at home and teach was repeatedly upheld. He in turn sued his landlord for $1 million and says he won $10,000. But the ordeal haunted him, leaving him sleepless and exhausted. That's not unusual. The piano virtuoso Richard Good consistently earns the highest praise from the press.
This is your life, this is your work, this is your discipline.
But even he's been told to stop practicing, in one case because the four-year-old in the apartment next door couldn't sleep. In another instance, the neighbor said his playing was absolute torture.
When you experience that, it's terrible because you feel everything that you do is causing suffering to people, and of course you feel constraint, and it enters your mind and also the body.
What's hard to say is whether this problem is more or less common than it used to be. Over the last 5 years, the total number of calls to 311 has risen by nearly 50%. But residential noise complaints, including loud stereos, wild parties, and practicing musicians, have actually come down by 17%. Still, some people think that a cultural shift has taken place. Les Marshak is a famous voiceover artist.
This is Today with Matt Lauer.
He grew up in the Bronx near Yankee Stadium. He said that as a young musician, he was a minor celebrity in his building.
There was a lot more encouragement and admiration for what we're doing, you know, keep on playing. And nowadays, it's either, I heard the piano, you know, a little indignant. So I just think people are just less tolerant.
But of course, Les Marshak doesn't live in the Bronx now. He lives next door to the Guggenheim. His neighbors aren't just less tolerant, they're a lot wealthier. And one real estate attorney told me that increasingly high-end co-ops and condos are barring musicians from practicing more than a stated number of hours each day, and even limit the number of consecutive hours someone can practice. But even within these high-end enclaves, there are still high-end ways of resolving conflicts.
I was in the kitchen and came a bang on the back door.
Ellie Shearing's the wife of the late George Shearing, the pianist and big band leader. She lives in the same building as Les Marshak.
And it was one of our neighbors. I had never met him, and I opened the door, and the first words out of his mouth were, "I can't have that noise."
Picture this. George Shearing, composer of Lullaby of Birdland. Sir George Shearing, who'd actually been knighted by the Queen, in whose living room you'd find guys like Dick Hyman, Mel Torme, Benny Goodman. Sir George was being called a common noisemaker. Soon, lawyers were called in, and they arrived at the Shearing home to see what kind of a racket he was producing. But instead of duking it out, the Shearings responded in the way of civilized folk. Photos of George meeting with various American presidents were strategically placed, as was Sir George himself.
He was in the living room.
Next to his Burzendorfer, the Rolls Royce of pianos. He was ready for the lawyers.
And he said, "I would like to invite the entire board with their wives to be my guest at one of my shows at the Carlisle," because he was playing at the Carlisle at the time. And he said, "And then they will hear just how loudly I do not play." And that did it.
That's how they roll on the Upper East Side. Ronan Segev is a pianist who also owns Park Avenue Pianos. Now he lives on Central Park South. The previous occupant was Leon Fleischer. But years ago, he was just another Juilliard student. His neighbor got so fed up of hearing Chopin's mazurkas through her walls that she started blasting Jay-Z right back.
So she buys this loud stereo system and would play this, you know, very loud rap music with a very strong rhythmic beat. So it would be something like, you know, a bum, a bum, 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 bum.
But Ronan figured this was a good exercise. So we just played along, literally. Think of it as a mashup. Big Pimpin' meets Chopin. Big Pimpin'. We doing bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. This kind of musical combat happens all the time. People fight back with punk, with the Stones. Crank the speakers up to 11 and just leave their apartment. All that noise crashing about, and who knows, maybe 1 in 1,000 times something interesting comes of it. One of my favorite stories, and my last, I promise, comes from the mezzo-soprano Irene Roberts. She played one of the flower maidens in the recent Met production of Parsifal. A couple months ago, she was practicing in her living room when a bunch of middle school boys walked by, carrying skateboards.
I saw them go by because they're laughing and just making noise, and one of them stopped and was like, "Hey guys, what up, what up?"
Irene was singing an aria from I Capuletti e I Montecchi, The Capulets and the Montagues, a reworking of Romeo and Juliet. They heard her but couldn't see her, even though she was just a few feet away.
And he was like, "You hear that?" And one guy said, "No, no, 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 that can't be real. That can't be real. It's too good to be real." And one dude said, "No, man, that's it. It's too good to not be real."
The group stood there debating this for about 5 minutes, except for this one kid who wasn't talking. He was just standing on the sidewalk, transfixed, as if he'd never heard anything like it before. That, she said, was the best part of all. I'm Arun Venugopal, and this is Micropolis. At WNYC.